says in verse 17, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah." That was also a statement that would also be true for any one of us. Blessed are you because you believe that Jesus is the Christ. For this was not revealed to you by man. The fact that Jesus was the Christ was not a man-made idea. It didn't originate with man, but by my Father in heaven. Well, how's that? Well, as Peter looked on and saw the evidence of all the things that Jesus did, the things that he said, he understood emphatically that Jesus and only Jesus could fulfill the Old Testament prophecy and be the Christ. So I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock, Peter, of course, means rocky.
Still seems pretty low.
Yeah, upon you, Peter, your confession, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of death cannot prevent us.
Doing something.
Gates of death can't keep. Gates of death, as you're told in Psalm 23, we all walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Hades is the Greek word here. It's often many of your translations translated hell. It's unfortunate. It's actually the Greek translation of the Hebrew word Sheol, which is the grave. So the gates of death are not going to keep you in God's kingdom by virtue of your confession that Jesus is the Christ. Talk a little more about God building. A little bit. Let's pray together, and then you take some time and just reflect on Peter's confession as being your own. And remembering that everybody here in the room who knows the Lord Jesus has made that same confession, which makes you family. And because we are family, we are a group of imperfect human beings. And of course, it takes a lot of grace. We'll work together to build his church. And through the years, imperfect men and women were the very people that God used, who broke bread just like you and me, through whom we eventually heard the gospel. And by virtue of that fact, we're here to be able to praise God and worship him, to sing like we were singing earlier. Lord, we come to you this morning. Delightful, Lord, that you have preserved your word and that we can read this account. Lord, help us to accept one another, each other. And then help us, Lord, to be a light to others who haven't understood. You are the Savior of the world of Christ, the one who was chosen, sent, to take our sin upon himself. Lord, as we break bread, seek to do so in unity. Focus on you and what you've done. And that in that breaking of bread, as we pass the loaf from one to another, recognizing that when you need your life in us to produce the life that only you can produce, which is the abundant life we can share in our relationships with others. To help us grow. We appreciate you, my Lord. We appreciate all that you've done. Let us go to your hearts and others around us. We return to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let the men come up and share some things together. Meditate your part and looking forward to your preaching.
Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Let's pray. Thank you for the wonderful gift. Thank you for giving us, justifying us, and freeing us from the power of sin as well. It's something that we have a hard time fully appreciating. Help us to appreciate it. Help us to think about it often. I pray that this will help us in how we just view life in appreciation for what you've done for us. Thank you for this wonderful gift. Exactly at the right time, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. You're reading from John chapter 6, starting verse 25. When you found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? Jesus answered, very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal, which the Son of Man will give you. On him, God the Father has placed the seal of approval. Then they asked him, what must we do to do the works God requires? Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one who he has sent. So they asked him, what sign then will you give, that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, always give us this bread. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. As I told you, you have seen me and still you do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of him up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life. And I will raise him up at the last day. At this the Jews began to grumble about him, because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I came down from heaven? Stop grumbling among yourselves, Jesus answered. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, they will be taught by God. Everyone who has heard the Father and learned from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But there is bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from the heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. The bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves. How can this man give us flesh to eat? Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father. So the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate the manna and died. But whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. He said this while teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. On hearing it, many of his disciples said, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? Aware that his disciples were grumbling about the Jews about this, Jesus said to them, does this offend you? Then what if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are the full of the Spirit and life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. He went on to say, this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled them. From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. You do not want to leave me too, do you? Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One. Lord, I want to thank you for the scriptures that you have preserved for us. Lord, as you asked the disciples, if we want to believe too that the words of Peter, Lord, you are life. God, there, we want to follow you as a united church. And Lord, we just pray that you can bless us and to give us leadership that we can continue to grow. God, we just thank you for today. Pray that you bless the service.
to read from Psalm 150. Page 1000 on the table. Praise the Lord, praise God in His sanctuary, praising His mighty exploits, praising for His mighty deeds, praising according to His excellent greatness, praising with trumpet sound, praising with harp and lyre, praising with timbrel and dancing, praising with stringed instruments and lyre, praising with loud sounds, praising with resounding sounds, and everything that has breath, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we have the opportunity every single day, every single second, to praise you with everything we have, with all our might and strength, with all our skills. Father, we pray that as we take on this coming week, this coming day, this coming second, our whole being. I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty. And I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works. And I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All your works praise you, Lord. Your faithful people extol you. They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is trustworthy in all he promises and faithful in all he does. The Lord upholds all who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and faithful in all he does. The Lord is near to all who call on him, all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. Hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever. Lord, I just thank you for your faithfulness. We can rely on the promise of everlasting life through your Son. Lord, just thank you for the promise that you'll never let us go. Even though we may be unfaithful, that you remain faithful in all that you've promised to us. It's a great bread. Just ask that. We just remember the promise. Just name. Share with you this morning. Ezekiel 43 for a moment. And we'll look at a brief passage in Revelation. We are the church, the body,
Jesus Christ. We are building, as it were. Paul makes that statement in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The picture that we have in Ezekiel chapter 43 was mentioned many, many years ago, probably around 570, 580, 590, somewhere in there, written to those who were living in exile, nation of Israel. And God wanted that particular generation to understand that although the glory had departed from the temple at that time, and that they were in exile, that one day he would return. And so what we read in 43 is we see the glory of God returning to a future temple. Future temple. When the Lord Jesus walked into the temple that Herod had built, the Apostle John says that we beheld his glory, the glory of the one and only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John and the apostles were anticipating that God establishes his earthly kingdom. Disciples didn't understand that this long-awaited seeing the glory come would still get me future even from their day. We represent another age. We're called the church age. Church. Christ will build his church based upon the confession of all of those who would recognize Jesus as the Messiah. With 7 billion people on the planet, I want you to realize that you and I are part of a minority. There's not a lot of people on the planet who are breaking bread like we are, who are reading Psalm 145 or Psalm 150 or Romans chapter 5. That's not happening. But you and I, as a church, should be reading those passages. They should come to mind every day. So that although we're breaking bread here today, we're celebrating together, we get to rejoice individually every day in our walk with the Lord. His voice was like the roar, rushing waters, and the land was radiant with his glory. That speaks of a future age called the thousand-year reign of Christ. Verse 4, the glory of the Lord entered the temple, the new temple that is being described here, Ezekiel. It's not the eternal state. It's a state that's still future to this one, but it's not the eternal state. It's bringing us one step closer where all of us will be in glorified bodies. During this time, of course, we as the church will have been resurrected, given glorified bodies, and we're going to witness Lord Jesus living with his people, the nation of Israel. One of all the nations of the earth that he treasures as his inheritance. Let's go to Revelation. Revelation 21. As we get beyond that, well, let's just put it this way. If the Lord was to return today, there's at least 1,007 years left in this earth. Okay. 1,007 years left. Oh, what do you mean? How do you figure that? Well, there's a 7-year great tribulation period, and there's another 1,000 years in which Christ will reign on the earth. Verse 1. John, who is part of the church, understands that God has a program for his people. doesn't know when it's going to happen. He just knows that it's going to happen. He knows that. He too was reading Ezekiel. He says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Why is this here for you and for me anyway? Why did God preserve this? It wasn't to excite you. And to realize, just as we were breaking bread and the disciples were asking Jesus while they were there at the last Passover with the Lord Jesus, you know, what's going to be the sign of your coming? They were trying to put all the time periods together. And here we have the Word of God, and we're able to decipher it now as we look back. But yet we're also looking forward. First earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. The holy city, by the way, back in Ezekiel, where the temple was, is a city called Jerusalem that is going to be on the earth, but it's not this one. This one points beyond that. And the one that we're talking about in Ezekiel is not the one that's on the earth today, because that one is going to be trampled on by the world. God will save part of it, but we also know that there's going to be all kinds of devastations during that period of time. So I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven. Oh no, you're kidding. Yeah, I'm not kidding. The Word of God isn't kidding. Prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. The Lord Jesus had already been inhabiting the world during that time. Everybody knew and saw the glory of the Lord, as we read in Ezekiel 43, enter through the temple. And God was residing there with his covenant people, the nation of Israel, who returned to him. The church has already been taken to hell. Rapture. Living in glorified bodies. What do you mean now? Now the dwelling of God is with men. Hasn't God been dwelling with men all this time? No. God is indwelling you and I, but we are a microcosm of the 7 billion on the planet today. There are thousands upon thousands of people who are dying today without the Lord. There are believers today who are dying with the Lord, who have his Spirit indwelling them. We are those who have the Spirit of God indwelling us. But in a future state, in a future day, in the eternal state, where this is sort of the bridge to the eternal state, that's what we're seeing here, God will dwell with man like never before. Never since the fall. As God sought to walk with Adam and Eve in the garden, have conversations and talk about eternal matters, that day will be restored. So we'll commune with God. And I'm not sure exactly what secret things he's going to share with us, but it'll be a beautiful time. But what he's given us here now in his word is a picture, somewhat like a telescope. It's not showing us all the details, but it's showing us somewhat of a large picture. And if you like astronomy, or you like looking at things through telescopes or microscopes, microscopes give us the detail. Telescopes give us the bigger picture. Yeah. We have a big picture here. What Jesus did for us was to take into consideration details of your life and mine, dying on Calvary so that you might have life. The passage that was read by Peter back in chapter 5 of that same Gospel of John, we read that the graves will be open. Death will be no more. In fact, just in Revelation chapter 20, just a few verses up, 13 and 14, we read that death and Hades have been completely destroyed, death and the grave. they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. You put down 2 Corinthians 5:17 there. We are already citizens of the new. Our citizenship is in heaven, new earth. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty. Are you thirsty? Spiritual thirst. Desire to be more intimate with God. Desire to worship him and praise him, as we've been reminded here this morning. I will give him to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. John chapter 4, verse 14 makes that. As he tells the woman at the well the very same thing. And Lord, give us ongoing pictures of eternity so that we would have the perspective to live holy lives today with our neighbors and with one another. These verses and all the passages that were read were shared with us for a mutual encouragement, so that you'd leave here today completely enthused about what God has planned. And then to appreciate all that you have been saved from and saved for, as we're reading. Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. And so God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so we break bread in gratitude, but also in anticipation of what God is doing. Those of you who are helping with the community, if you would come forward with this. I wasn't raised in the church. And so every time I read the word, the urgency of it, the opportunity to appreciate it, is now. It's not later. It's now. Breaking bread is to appreciate what Christ has done for you now. This very moment, to give serious thought to all Christ has done. In a moment we'll be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And turn the Bible there. Okay. Last one we've been hearing. Give thanks for Jesus took bread, wine, very simple. Simple emblems signify life, death, resurrection. The Apostle Paul planted churches. He taught for the first time things that people had never heard before. He reminds them of one of the things that he taught them. It says, "For I received from the Lord what I passed on to you." The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Stand together. Thank you. year and a half ago, we were miss breaking bread with them. But I also miss breaking bread with friends of mine in Wawa, where we lived for about 11 years. I miss breaking bread with brothers and sisters in Christ, Grace Chapel, where I fellowship for years, Curtin Lake. Why would I say that to you? I just want you to be reminded of the fact that we live in a very transitionary time. We're going to see people come, people go. You'll notice around here that we got a lot of room to fill. That would mean that I want to encourage you to prayerfully consider inviting your friends and family to come and break bread together. Let's lead people to the Lord and help them understand the marvelous grace of God. Wouldn't it be good to be able to plant another church? That's what we're hoping to do. But for us to do that, we actually have to share the gospel with others. Don't look around and say, "Oh, we'll never do this." Well, if that was the case, we never would have built on here. There wouldn't have been any vision. And we believe that we can continue. God's church, what did we read? Gates of death cannot prevail. The message of the gospel is good news. Let's live it, let's share. Lord, I thank you for each one here today. You understand, Lord, the burdens and the cares of people in each of our lives. We were greeting one another, being reminded that we're family. We thank you, Lord, for each one that you've brought here. We pray that you'll bring more. And that we would live authentic lives, completely sold out to you. That everything that we say and do in our families and our places of work would reflect, even as Nat shared with us today, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That the world would not see a bunch of complainers and grumblers, but people who are creative for good works, people who are obedient to your word, living with integrity. So help us, Lord, to do that. And as we've broken bread here today, we're reminded of the price that was paid so that we can have freedom. Not freedom in terms of living any way we want, but freedom from a guilty conscience. Freedom from the penalty of sin and the power of sin. So we anticipate, Lord, your soon return. In the meantime, we pray for ongoing strength and wisdom so we might draw others to you. Thank you, Lord, that you are seeking to draw all men to yourself. In Jesus' name. Greet each other with a handshake. Lord bless you. Have a great day. Remember, when you shake hands with that person,